I want to greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's good to join you in your home today. We trust that you have gathered your families and that together we can dig into God's Word. For those who have tuned into our online sermons on Eternal Flame Church on our YouTube channel, you would have seen that my previous message was on God's original intent concerning redemption. And we've highlighted some things, and God has just allowed me to just continue some of the points that God laid in my heart on that particular day. And today I want to focus on, continue focusing on this aspect of obedience within our sonship. And I just want to remind ourselves of the passage that you may have heard in our previous sessions. And I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1 to 5, and it's not my main passage today, but just as a reminder, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love," the Bible says, "he predestined us for adoption to sons, to sonship, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will." So we know that The scripture tells us that there was an adoption that took place. And part of the redemption plan is to take us from where we previously were as orphan, one who has no father, to one who is now called son, and in the context of child of God. We are now children of God. We moved from orphan to son. And we know that that's a conversion. A conversion of status, of position. We move from what we call from disobedience to obedience to Christ. And that is the aspect that I want to just focus on. What is that obedience that we are to living as sons? What does obedience look like? Where does it come from? So today I just want to share some things and share out of the Word about obedience. And we know that Christ is our standard. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. And if that's what scripture tells us, then we need to have a look at the glimpse of the things that Christ did on earth. And I want to share one particular thing and of what the works of Christ, that the way that he executed his work on earth. And some of you may have remembered that our position as son is that of Christ. Christ's position on earth was always, "Father, not my will, but your will." We look at the scripture in, as we all know, the Garden of Gethsemane. He mentions to us that, "Father, may your will be done, not mine. Father, in spite of what's going to happen, despite of the pain, Father, not my will, but your will." And that is the position that we as children of God are to also take. And it's such amazing of what God can do in our lives. This conversion, if I look at a conversion of orphan to son, when a child now starts in this new life of a son in a particular home, someone who has a child who has changed their status, who has been adopted by a parent, we know that there's a conversion that takes place. Now, part of that conversion is that the child would need to adapt to this new place, to this new home. And with this new home, there are sets of values. There are sets of values, and there's a culture that now exists in this new home that is perhaps unfamiliar to this child. This child would need to conform to this new way of life. And in the same way, as sons, as believers, we were orphaned, we were not saved, and now we enter into this new way. We continue to remind ourselves that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we are to live in that. And there's a new way, there's a new culture, there's new values that we begin to exert. And it's a new way of life, and we need to continue to accustom ourselves to this new way of life. And that's called a journey, it's called a process, and that is natural. It's natural for us to continue to walk and grow into this new journey. And some of us may think about the fruits of the Spirit. These are all things that we will begin to discover and will begin to exert, because as we grow in Christ, we begin to grow in that fruit of the Spirit. Growing peace, growing joy. That is what naturally we are to do. But there's something else that a child would need to also do. A child would then also need to learn how to take an instruction from a parent, from their parent. From a point of not having taking instruction to a point of now having to obey someone who's in a point of authority. And that authority is called father. Father instructs the son. And this child will need to accustom themselves to this new way and living a life of obedience. And we know that as an orphan status, it's only about me, myself, and I. It's about disobedience, about focusing on your own pleasure, your own desires, versus a son whose position is, Father, not my will, but your will. And that's the difference. But I also want to, today I want to speak about as well some things that we may have potentially forgotten. And I want to give some good earthly examples. I've jotted down some things that in our daily life, we would potentially forget. You know, it's for us who are in our, perhaps in our senior years, or some of us who are extremely busy, there are some things that we forget. It's natural. We forget. And perhaps we sometimes forget birthdays. You know, when you realize and you see that Facebook notification that says it is that person's birthday, and then you realize you actually forgot. If you haven't experienced that, then I don't know, you must be have a really good memory. But we cannot remember everybody's birthday. But we should remember some people's birthdays. Another thing that we potentially forget is sometimes events. In our calendars, there are things that we say, no, I'm gonna attend that event, or that church event, or family event, whatever it may be. And on the day you realize that you overbooked yourself and you've forgotten. There are some things that we forget in our day-to-day lives. And I'm a good example of this. Especially when we need to prepare supper or lunch, whatever it may be, and you go into the kitchen and we realize I did not take the meat out of the freezer. So that's the things that we also forget. I forget that regularly. Sometimes I forget, okay, babe, to my wife, I forgot to take the meat out of the freezer. And I forgot. And I'm sure many of us can relate to that. But there are some things that we don't forget, such as our names. We do not forget our names. It's something that is always in us. If they ask who you are, my name is Timothy. You know, you ask the name of your child right now, or the name of your wife, they would respond to you by saying their name. And this is something that you cannot forget. And in the same manner, we also don't forget our ID numbers. For us who are parents, or for us who are young adults, you begin to know that the importance of remembering your ID number. Because whether you want to apply for university, for school, for a new job, whatever you're applying for, it potentially requires your ID number. So the use of your ID number is quite common. You have to apply for this, you have to apply for that. Whatever you want, potentially you would have to provide with your unique identity number. Because that identity number relates specifically to you. And those are things we cannot forget. It's in us. For the youngsters out there, if you don't remember your ID number, we will continue to pray for you afterwards. I really want to keep to my notes. I don't want to miss anything today. And with that being said, I want us to, with this point of this, the point of this message, for us to really look at some things that we potentially have forgotten as children of God. And within the context of obedience, I want us to be reminded of things that we may potentially have forgotten. Things about who we are that we've lost track of. And today I want to share with you from the passage of John chapter 4. So if you open your Bibles, I'm going to begin to give you context. And John chapter 4 speaks about the Samaritan woman. And many people will phrase it as the day God encounters the Samaritan woman. But if you actually look at it, it's the woman encountering God. The Samaritan woman who encounters the living God. And I want us to see it in that context. So the purpose of this passage that I want to emphasize is not really the detail of the actual event. I want to focus on the post, what happens afterwards. So let us look at that. And there's a few passages that I want to highlight for us. We won't read the whole of chapter 4. I just want to highlight some passages and give you some context. So the Bible says that in chapter 4 verse 1, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. And in verse 4 from chapter 4, he says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. So there's something that I want us to focus on slightly here, is that Jesus was tired. We know that Jesus was fully man and fully God. The Bible says he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And today we will understand this context that Jesus was tired. He was tired. And we know the context of this passage, of this chapter, is that Jesus now speaks to this Samaritan woman. And they begin to speak about some powerful things concerning worship. About life, about thirst. God quotes, one of the quotes in this passage that says that, if you drink from me, you will never thirst again. These are all things that this woman was astounded by. She knows her history. She knows her ancestors. And Jesus begins to change her perspective concerning himself and concerning worship. I want to highlight the passage here in verse 25. It says, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. In verse 26, he says, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And this woman begins to change. This woman begins to be astounded by the words of Jesus, and she realizes that this is the Messiah. Now, when they were entering Samaria, Scripture says that his disciples had gone to go into town to buy food. At the point where he comes to the well, the disciples leave Jesus and they go buy food in the town. Now at this point, the Samaritan woman encounters Jesus. She's astounded by what he has to say. You see that he's knowledgeable, as if he's a prophet. And she begins to go and tell. She begins to go as well. Go and tell people about her encounter with Jesus.
So this is the context of where we're in. And when she goes, she brings people towards Jesus. Okay, so let's look at the scripture. The Bible says in verse 27, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I did, everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Bible says. They came out of the town and made their way towards him. So the scripture says this woman declared the goodness, declared the things about Jesus, about her encounter with Jesus. They've responded, is this the Messiah? And the Bible says they came out of town and made their way toward him. Now this is the context. And from here on, I want to share a point of obedience. Right? And this is the context. While these Samaritans were coming towards Jesus, the disciples responded. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, verse 31, Rabbi, eat something. We know that Jesus was tired of his journey. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Verse 33. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Perhaps someone has given Jesus food, hence his statement. But then Jesus says, my food is to do with the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? Jesus asks and questions them. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Today, many of you might be thinking I'm sharing a message about sharing the gospel. But today I want to focus on Jesus' response concerning the purpose of why you were sent to earth. We know that food helps this earthly body. Without food, this body cannot survive. And Jesus was, as the scripture says, he was tired and potentially hungry of the journey. But we know that food provides nutrition for this body. And it helps this body sustain itself in order to exist. But Jesus over here, looking at the scene of what's happening around him, there's a crowd of Samaritans, a group of people who is convicted, who is excited to encounter Jesus in this moment. They're convicted, they're excited to come towards Jesus and continue to hear his words. And this is important to note that in the midst of this, the disciples wanted him to miss this opportunity. You see that when Jesus looked at the scene, he says these specific words, and I don't want to miss anything. But he began to say, I've come, my food is to do the will of the Father, to finish that work. So in this moment, there are souls coming towards me, and right now is not a time for me to eat. It's not a time for me to satisfy this body. I may be tired, I may be hungry right now, but it's right now, it's not the time to eat. Because there are people who have heard a testimony about the Samaritan woman. They've heard a testimony and they are now excited to hear me speak. And right now is not a time to eat. The Bible says in other version that the disciples, they urged, they pushed him, please eat. So concerned about Jesus, please eat something. Well, wait. There are souls right now. There's no time to eat. Because my mandate as Christ was not to eat. My mandate was to seek and save the lost. That is my priority. Right now, eating is not priority. And the disciples could not see this. And Jesus gives an example to say that, you know, 4 months, you say 4 months and the fields, the harvest will be ripe. And Jesus says, look, the fields are ripe now. Don't you see? There's a correlation. There's a compare to what you see naturally to what you should be seeing spiritually. And your perception is maybe earthly, but I've come to execute what my Father has sent me to do. And that it takes priority over what we perceive in the natural. And naturally, I'm hungry. Spiritually, I have a mission. I have a mandate which God has called me to do, and that is to save the lost. And today, that is my perspective today, and that is what I want to share with us about where does obedience fit into your life? Where does obedience is structured in your life? And that are the thoughts that I want to provoke into you today. And into myself, is that where does obedience to God lie in your life? As a son, Christ has mandated us. He's given you a gift. We've heard last week that God graces you with things for you to execute here on the earth. As sons, we have a purpose. As children of God, we have a purpose. And one thing that I want to remind us today is that the Bible says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And we may have forgotten this. That we are in this world, and we're not of this world. That we are not here to conform to this life, to the nature and the culture of this earth. But we are to live according to His kingdom, according to His way, according to His household. Because we were adopted into His household. And we do not live according to this old mindset. We do not live according to self-gratification. Although we are in this world, we are not of this world. And there's a change of mindset that needs to take place. And one of the things I want to remind you as children of God, we are not to conform and copy or mimic the behaviors of this world. We are not. We are different. You are different. So we are not to just to go with the flow of things. We are not to just, it's the norm, that's the way, that's, if everybody is doing it, we need to do it. No, it's not so. It's, you are a child of God. You have to do things differently. Do things according to His way, to His household, to His way of life. That is what a son is to be. And I want to get my notes back up. And so as a reminder, we are called sons. And Jesus here represents to us our position of obedience. How the will of God needs to take preeminence over everything in our life. Regardless of your context, the will of God takes preference over all things. You see, Jesus teaches us here that despite of this earthly limitation, in spite of the things that need to be concerned of this body or environment or this earthly context or the challenges or the situations or the troubles, regardless of what happens on earth, Christ represents that I've come to do the will of my Father, and that takes preeminence over all things. And today I want to encourage us concerning that. And So we know that Jesus continues to teach us that we do not need to be earthly governed. Our mind should always be heavenly focused, as Christ was heavenly focused, always reminding his disciples, always taking statements of, I've come to do the will of my Father. Not my will, but your will. And I want to look at some examples. Look at Noah, who obeyed God, who built an ark. These are some simple examples that we hear so often in the Bible. Is that Noah built an ark. God instructed him to do so. In spite of the time, in spite of him himself not experiencing rain himself, he still had faith. He still heard the voice of God and was obedient. You look at Abraham, who was instructed to take his son and sacrifice him. This was a step of obedience. With not knowing what's going to happen, without knowing how to answer his son, his statement was to his son, when his son on Isaac asked, who's going to provide a lamb? And Abraham said, Jesus. God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And that's a picture of Father sending his son Jesus as well. And today, I want us to be reminded that obedience is an essential part of our daily walk with God. Obedience is not something that is far-fetched. It's only for the elect. And oftentimes we look at obedience as signs and wonders. Oh, he's obedient to the Lord because he preached a good word, or he did miracles and he did signs and wonders. And there are things that Jesus did that was both great, yes, but both simple. Jesus healed the sick, he casted out demons, but at the same time, he ate with sinners. He shared a meal with sinners. You know, we think that our life in Christ is only looking at people that can do these great acts. But Christ lives in your day to day. And that's part of the culture, part of the household of God, that we follow his way. But there's a level of obedience where Christ continues to instruct us. He guides us. He gives us instruction so that something may benefit from obeying that instruction. And he always gives you instruction for a purpose. It's not for himself, for his self-gain. It's always for a purpose beyond himself. And I want to share with you an example of myself and my father. Myself and my father. As you know, as everybody is born, they're born into a home, and I was born into the home of my parents. And it's good to note that as I grew up in my parents' home, I began to conform and understand the way of life in that home. There are values, there are cultures in that home, in the home. And I had to conform to that. I learned to accustom myself to those values. In the same way, in the house of God, as children of God, we also conform naturally to, as we grow in God, we grow naturally to the standards and the values of God. But as a child in a home, when a father gave me instruction, as an immature son, I was a childish son, whenever my father instructed, my response was, no, why must I do it? My response was, no, why can't my sibling do it? Why can't he do it? Why can't she do it? That was my response. Initially, with concerning instruction. And this may have disappointed my father. But this was my learning that I need to overcome. Growing further and growing in the house of my father and my parents, I began to see how my father and my parents were determined to give me the best they can provide for me. To provide for me in the best way possible. There have been times of difficulty, but my father's position was, I'll give you the best. Everything that you require, I'll do my best to provide you with that thing. And when growing up, you begin to see that, you realize that, wow, my father does so much for me. He comes through for me. In the midst of my disappointing him, he still comes through for me. Up until the point where I began to grow further as a son in the home, I began to realize the reason why. Why does my father do these things for me? Do these things for me? And I realize more and more, even as I am my father to my own child, and that is because he loves me. The things that my father has done for me and still continues to do is a result of his love towards me as a son. And that's important to note. And that for me gave me a different perspective to the way I respond to an instruction. So when my father now instructs me, my perception is no longer, why must I do it? And the perception as a child was, I must just do what he wants me to do. That was the mind. That was my understanding. But now my perception is, his instruction towards me is not to harm me. His instruction towards me is to benefit me, is to guide me, is to lead me into a way that's better. That's better than my own, or better than, because he knows he's lived the life of father as a, and he himself was a child, so he would know many things concerning life, and I needed to understand that his instruction towards me was that of love, of that of concern, was that of my benefit. That is the purpose of him instructing me. And when I realized that perspective, My level of obedience now increased, because my level of understanding, the reason why the instruction is given, is out of love. And today I want to encourage us today, and I want to relate that to our Heavenly Father. Father God, and we look at and concerning Father God, and our obedience is not a place of, I need to do what God wants me to do, period. I'ma just satisfy God and that's what obedience looks like. No, it does not. When we understand that everything God has done for us is because He loves us, when I begin to comprehend that love, my perception now changes, because the way I respond to Father is that of He loves me. And that love speaks of intimacy. The relationship between father and son is always that of intimacy. Intimacy. We grow in our love, in that father-son love. We grow in it. We begin to grow in it. And today, as you look at your life, don't see obedience as something far-fetched or something for the elect or insignificant. You are insignificant in this world. Whatever God instructs you to do, that is the will of God. His will is for your benefit. It's to lead you, to guide you. This message is not about us just doing stuff. It's not about us just doing things. It's not about that. Obedience is not about doing stuff for in the name of God or in the name of Christ. It's not just about doing. It's about obeying to His voice, to His word, to His mandate for your life, to His instruction for your life. And one good example I can share with you is that we all know this familiar passage of Jesus who then responds to His disciples when the disciples came to Him and says, we did this in your name. We healed the sick. We casted out demons in your name. And Jesus responds, I do not know you. See, that's the difference. We're not here to do stuff. Because even though they were acting out in the name of God. But their focus was orphaned mindset. Me, myself, and I. The response was, we did this in your name. The focus was on themselves. There's a point that even as a believer, you can still have an orphan mindset and be so and be continually focused on self, even in your works. And we call it the name of Jesus. Jesus continues to remind us in his word and through his apostles, such as Paul. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. And it speaks about that you can have faith that can move mountains, and you can have gifts. But if it's not done out of love, the Bible states, I am nothing. Without love, I am nothing. So as a son and as a child of God, our life should not be focused on what I necessarily need to do for God. The focus should rely on our intimacy with God. The Bible says in John 3 verse 16, our familiar passage, he says that, for God so loved the world that he gave. The giving was a product because the love that Christ, that God had towards us. It's a product. The giving was a product of love. And in the same way, our obedience to God is a product of our love towards Him as Father. And that love is built in intimacy with God. It's built through a relationship with God. A relationship between Father and Son is that of love. The DNA of obedience exists in love. The love that is not attained by human efforts or human emotions. This is God love. A God love that is now expressed in what you do. In what you do now is evidence of love. In the same way, Christ coming to earth and God sending his Son was evidence of love. In the same way, Christ's obedience to God by saying, Father, not my will, but your will, in executing the purposes of God on earth, was because of the love. Because of love towards us and love that exists between Father and Son. So today, what is my message? What is my message for you today? The message for you today is that obedience is a product of our intimacy towards God. What is intimacy? What is a consequence of intimacy with God? A consequence of intimacy with God is prioritization of His will. Christ gave us the example. He is the example. That He states to His disciples, I've come to do the will of the Father. My food is to do the will of the Father. My existence here on earth, even though limited to this earthly body, my existence takes preference over this physical needs, my physical needs, and it says, whatever happens on this earth, whatever context I'm in, whatever's happening in the earth, whether pandemic or not, whether I'm poor or rich, whether I'm tall or short, that's not the issue. What should take priority above all is, Father, not my will, but your will. Father, I've come to do the will of my Father. When something responds to you, when something says to you, you need to look at your hunger. You need to look at your debt. You need to look at the things that deter us, the things that distracts us from executing the will of God. These things come and deter us, to distract us, to delay us from executing the will of God. And so oftentimes, as a reminder, as a son of God, your priority, number one, is to do the will of the Father.
is to do the will of the Father. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like for you, whether Christ instructs you to pray, whether God instructs you to give to somebody, whether God instructs you to phone somebody, whether God instructs you to forgive somebody, whether God instructs you to go and heal somebody, the heart of a son is to do the will of the Father. Whatever that looks like for you today, it's more than just signs and wonders and miracles. That's obedience, is whatever Christ instructs you to do, that is what God wants you to do. And that's what we should be obedient towards. And that obedience is aligned to understanding that when God instructs me, it's because He loves me and I love Him. And whatever I do, I will be fulfilled because I'm doing what He has created me to do. And I don't want to make obedience and the will of God complicated, because it's not. Whatever God wants you to do, be obedient to that. Regardless of what you're struggling with, regardless of what you are facing in this life, irrelevant. Priority for us as sons, out of the love that we have for our Father, out of the intimacy we have for Him, I'm obedient. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So beautiful. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. That commandments is not somebody ordering you what to do. Don't see commandment as someone ordering you what to do. We need to change our perspective. It says that if you love me, if you understand the love God has for you, understand that a commandment, that instruction, that guidance is not so that God can say, you better do what I've asked you to do. No, He's saying, I love you. I've created you for this. Go and be obedient to my word, because I've called you for this. I've brought you this far. You obey my word. That's what God wants us, because He loves you. Obedience benefits us. It makes us whole. It gives us joy. It gives us reason to live. That's what obedience helps us with. It's not complicated. God gives you a word right now wherever you're sitting. I believe God speaks. God is moving. In the midst of services and our lives being suspended in this moment, Christ's voice is not suspended. Christ's guidance, His instruction is not suspended. So whatever God has called you to do in this time, in this moment, in this season of your life, let's not sit and conform to the pattern of this world, where it's everything is suspended, or everything is laid back, or everything has stopped. Christ has not stopped. Christ is still moving. And that means we need to still be moving. We still need to do something. And whatever Christ is prompting you to do, don't delay. If Christ were to go and stop in that moment and have a meal and forget about and delay these people listening to the gospel, what would that look like? An opportunity missed. An opportunity missed. Regardless of your context, regardless of this earthly limitations, regardless of what you're struggling with, or regardless of the wealth in your life, regardless, right now, Christ has showed us that above all, our priority is, Father, not my will, but your will. Bible continues to say, and we reminded of the scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then everything shall be added unto thee. And even when they're pondering on the scripture, as from a humanistic perspective, we still read the scripture focusing on what happens afterwards. We're still looking at the scripture that says, because I seek the kingdom of God, everything will be added unto thee. Now, we still focus on that latter part. We're saying that if I do A, I will get B. I want to encourage you today. Don't worry about B. Don't worry about latter. Our priority is seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom, regardless of what is benefited from it. Father, I will seek your will. I will seek your kingdom. If we're looking at the scripture, stop looking at the letter. Orphan mindset. Orphan mindset. Then we're still looking at things that we can gain. We're still looking at things that will satisfy self and things that I will get because I'm doing this. I want to encourage you, as children of God, seek ye first the kingdom. Prioritize the will of God in your life. Christ has showed us, let's not delay. Let's not delay. And I want to read what the passage says. And I'm going to read from John chapter 4 and from verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did, said the woman. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days, the Bible says. And because of his words, many more became believers. The result of obedience. This is the result of Christ's readiness to always execute the will of God. He never let an opportunity go by to execute what God has called him to do on this earth. Today I want to encourage you. Don't let anything deter you from executing what God has called you to do in this season of your life. Unlike Christ, we do not know A, from start to end, what we need to do per phase and per season in our life. We don't have that map. We don't have it. We don't have it. But what we do have is a compass. A compass to guide us into the right direction. And that compass is called obedience. That compass that says that in the midst of struggles, or in the midst of challenges, or in the midst of great wealth and great prosperity, even in that midst, those things can deter us. But in the midst of all things, my compass is obedience. Because obedience will always lead me to the right place, to the perfect place. And that is the will of God. Wherever God is leading me to be, the compass of obedience will take me there. And obedience is, Father, I love you. Father, my relationship towards you is son, and I'm connected to you, and you have called me to do, you have graced me and called me to do things on this earth as a child. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, Romans says, but be conformed to the renewing of your mind. So then you were able to perceive his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we change our mind, heavenly focused, as of Christ, heavenly focused, we'll begin to execute God's pleasing and perfect will. It's your time. Do not delay. Do not worry. Just as sons, let us conform to his will. Let us yield to his instruction. And instruction is not given to pastors only or to leaders.
His instruction is given to all, regardless whether you are a senior sitting on your couch or a young person sitting next to your parents. Irrelevant. His instruction is given to us as children. Let us not limit ourselves to our earthly mindset. Earthly mindset, self-limitation, my age, my heart, my past, my history. We limit ourselves. And Christ showed us today in His Word that He didn't let hunger and tiredness limit Him from doing the will of the Father. So today, I want to leave you with these last words. There are things that we have forgotten. And there are things that we should never forget. Number one, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. Don't forget that. Do not forget. You are a child of God. You are part of His kingdom. But there are also things that you should not forget. In the same way that you remember your name, in the same manner in which you remember your ID number, because you are well practiced in writing it down, you are well practiced in applying it to paper. In the same way, we do not forget who we are as sons. We do not forget that we have a purpose, a mandate, we have a calling. God has graced you with things in the season. He's called you for something, whether it be an encouraging word to somebody, whether it be a call to say, I'm sorry, whether it be to say, whether Christ is giving you an instruction to deal with stuff in your life, some hurdles in your personal life, this is a good time. Perhaps Christ is leading you to build yourself, to begin to study His Word. Perhaps God is calling you to donate something to somebody. Whatever God is instructing you to do, you know the prompting of God. Let's not delay. Let's not look for excuses. Let's not say, Christ would have said, can you please wait? I need to eat first. I'm hungry. No. So much time we say, no, but I can't do it because I don't have money, or I don't have food, or I'm frail. Do not let this earthly body limit you to executing what God has instructed you to do as a child of God. I believe in this time we've got to prepare ourselves. God is going to be speaking more and more. And today I encourage you, let's continue to hear the voice of God with your family, as you do your family altars, as you worship God together. If you are not doing so, I encourage you to do so. Get connected as a family to what is God leading you to do as a family. This is your time. This is your time to be instruments, to be vessels of God's to be vessels in God's kingdom. So today I end off with that note to say that let's listen to the voice of God. Let's come in intimacy with God. Let's build our faith. Let's not think we can sit around and do nothing. The priority right now is, Father, I want to know You more. And out of that flows instruction. Out of that flows guidance. And out of that flows obedience. So church, go well. Enjoy your time during the lockdown as a family. And enjoy this growing time. So I want to bless you, and I want to speak life into your families. Holy Spirit, may You continue to lead us as a church. Holy Spirit, may You continue to guide us as a family of God, as children of God. Lead us. Maybe hear Your voice, Holy Spirit. Maybe not ignore You or be so focused on our earthly limitations, our earthly challenges. In Jesus' name, amen.